My name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief. I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted to be able to talk to people my age who understood firsthand what I've gone through. That shared experience is what inspired me to create this podcast. If you don't want to do the talking yourself, I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Chris Davis, a professor of psychology at Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. He's the director of the Stress and Coping Lab and teaches courses in personality psychology. One of his main areas of research has to do with how people adapt to life-changing experiences, including the death of a loved one, but also disabling injuries and chronic health conditions. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, thank you.
Can you describe grief as a type of stress, and what are some of the most common ways it manifests, both physically and mentally?
Sure. To me, when I think about grief, I think of the pain of losing somebody. Mm-hmm. As somebody told me once, grief is proof that you love that person. So, we feel grief when a loved one dies, but we can also feel grief when somebody we love leaves us. So whether it's a relationship breakup or parents splitting up and you don't get to see one parent as much, you'll go through very similar experiences. And it's grief to me is about sadness, pain, wanting that person back in your life. Stress, I think of as something a little bit different. For me, I think of stress as being pressure, whether it's a deadline that's approaching, or whether it's having to do too many things at once, or feeling that you're not going to succeed at some particular task, and it creates anxiety. So on the one hand, grief is about sadness and wishing someone was back. Stress is about anxiety and worry and fear. So I see those as kind of different. When we feel anxious, we tend to feel really agitated. We can't sit still, we can't concentrate. Lots of different thoughts are shooting through our minds. Grief is much more about sadness. It's about it's more of a quieting down. An absence of motivation. So there's, maybe one overwhelming thought that's keep going through your head as opposed to 100 thoughts that are racing through your mind.
Yeah. But what about when a situation where the two are kind of combined, like, you're about to lose somebody and you're stressed, but you're also grieving because they're not gone yet, but they will be soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. So there's a combination there of both that anxiety, because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what it's going to be like. You want to make sure you say all the right things and do all the right things before that person's gone. But there's also this impending sense that this person is going. And, sometimes we talk about anticipatory grief. That is that we're anticipating before the person's gone, we're anticipating that loss. So yeah, that's kind of a mix of those two. And I can imagine it would lead to a lot of confusion. Like, what do I do? I'm all agitated, but I'm also feeling really sad at the same time. And I guess one way to deal with that is to talk through those ideas, talk through what's going on in your head. Whether it's with that person that you're losing, their family members, sometimes getting it out there and talking about it is really good. Even if you don't get the advice you want, just having people listen to you and hear what you have to say and nodding and saying, I hear you, is what we need to hear.
Definitely. Can you talk a little bit more about anticipatory grief and kind of what that means and the ways it looks and how you can deal with that?
Yeah, sure. I haven't done a lot of work on anticipatory grief. Mm-hmm. But we do know that when we're losing a loved one, we will mentally imagine what it's going to be like when that person's gone, and we start, dealing with some of those loss emotions, that pain, even before the person is gone. Some people consider that as a good thing, because it's getting yourself ready, getting your body and your mind ready for the loss. But then at the same time, loss, it's almost always different from what we anticipate. So you go through another grief experience after the person's gone. You start feeling things and thinking things that, after the loss that you hadn't anticipated ahead of time. So it's kind of going through two grief experiences. So on the one hand, some people suggest that, anticipatory grief is a good idea. On the other hand, sometimes it ends up being a double whammy. You go through it twice, different each time.
Mm-hmm, definitely. That makes a lot of sense to me, because my father died suddenly, but it had been for years a fear in the back of my mind, like my worst fear that it would happen. So I was kind of feeling that anticipatory grief, even though I didn't know that it was going to happen anytime soon. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it makes you anxious, right? That fear. When is it going to happen?
Yeah. It feels a lot like stress. So my next question is actually, a lot of people have not felt grief, a lot of teenagers at least, but they have felt stress where teenagers were in high school. Our lives are stress. So
for sure.
Are there ways to kind of use what we've learned from dealing with stress to kind of transition those coping mechanisms into moving through grief?
Yeah. One of the things about grief, and this is, I think, especially relevant when you go through your first loss, whether it's when you're in high school or whether it's, later on in your adult life, is you feel different. You feel like nobody else understands you, that all your other friends, they've got parents.
Yeah.
Now you're missing one, and they don't understand what you're going through. And what that tends to do is isolate you, and it makes you feel you're all alone. You might be surrounded by hundreds of people, but you're feeling all alone, and they might be laughing and having a lot of fun, and you're feeling really awful. And so again, you think, I can't relate to these people. I'm different from all these people. They have no idea what I'm dealing with. And it isolates you. It makes you reluctant to talk to people. And you know that when you talk to some people, they're going to feel down. And so you don't want to make other people feel down. And so it's isolating. And those are, I think, common thoughts a lot of people feel when they have that grief experience.
Yeah.
And we've heard this over and over again from teenagers, but also from adults, that when their husband or wives die, it's nobody gets me, nobody understands me. And even between spouses, if the loss of a child, they may grieve in different ways and feel that the other person isn't getting how I'm feeling. What we've learned in our research is the best thing to do, again, is talk. Is to find that one person that you start with tentative things and say, I'm really feeling down. And if you sense that they're getting really emotional, or they can't handle it, then you back off. Some people, go to a parent, other people go to a best friend, and just, have that person hear you. They don't have to say anything. They just have to hear you and give you a hug. And accept you and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It's going to be rough, but we're going to get through that. There's daylight at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not the first person or second person you talk to. Sometimes it's the fourth or fifth person that you finally feel, I'm connecting with this person, and I can express myself. One of my students, her father has a spinal cord injury, and you know he's feeling the same thing that nobody can relate to me because I'm disabled, and what he's finding is that peer support. So having somebody else who's gone through that, somebody else who's had a spinal cord injury to talk to is really so important because that person gets it. And so finding someone who's also lost a parent is to talk to because they, you know, it can be really helpful because they get it. They understand. There's a lot of peer support opportunities to interact with other people who have been through that experience because they understand where you're coming from. And so there's, you know, there are organizations in a lot of different cities and towns of grief support groups for teenagers so that you can interact with other people who have been there.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's something that I'm trying to do here and get it online. So I definitely know the importance of finding somebody who understands. But the reason why I started this organization is because I was really struggling with finding somebody who I felt like understood. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about how when you reach out to people, it's sometimes it's not the first person or the second person. And it's kind of a stressful experience trying to open up to yourself, and you don't know if what the person says back is going to be great. So how do you?
You make yourself vulnerable, right? You just say, hey, can I be real with you? And sometimes people are, no, God, no, I can't handle that. And so you realize, no, that's not the right person.
So you just kind of have to be like, it's worth it to find.
Yeah. That. And it's more than, it's not like three strikes and you're out. It's not like you try three people and it does, you haven't got a hit yet. Gonna go at time, and again, that's why finding someone else who's gone through that is so valuable. And you can share each other's stories. You can say, "Well, this is what happened to me, and this is how I'm feeling." And the other person can say, you know, either say, "Yeah, I felt that too," or "No, it was a little bit different for me." But you gain understanding from each other.
Yeah,
and the sense that, you know, even if, and sometimes if it's, you know, a group, so it's three or four people, some who have had the loss longer ago can be sort of role models of, you know, the others can look up to him or her and say, yeah, I can see that person's really doing well now. And that's what I'm going to be like in 2 years or 3 years.
Yeah, that's good advice. So if you had any final, most important thoughts that you would offer teenagers who are experiencing grief, what would they be?
Well, you know, one thing, and maybe you know this already, but so much has been made of the stages of grief, you know, the five stages of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote about, and many others have talked about. And one of the things that we've learned, myself and many of my colleagues, over the past, you know, 20 years or so, is that there is no order to grief. There's no timeline of grief. That grief comes in waves and cycles. And so, you know, sometimes people say, you should be over this by now. And that's not good advice. The advice is, it's going to come and it's going to go, it's going to ebb and flow. And it may take you 3 years, it may take you 5 years, it may take you 6 months to get to a point where thinking about this person is no longer upsetting. So there isn't a timeline. There are no five stages that you have to do in a particular order. You know, yes, people will feel anger and people will feel depression, and people feel all those different emotions that Kubler-Ross talked about, but it doesn't happen in a linear way. It doesn't happen in that sort of order that she had suggested. And in fact, you know, close reading of what she's written, she does say, you know, people can go through these in different orders and come back and re-experience this and re-experience that. But the general message that often gets out is you got to do it in order. And that the one message I want to get through is that everybody's grief is different, and it's not a straight line. It's got a lot of bumps along the way, and you will get through it, and you'll get through it and be a stronger person, and someone that loved one would be proud of, that you've benefited, you've grown in certain ways, you've developed as a person by going through this experience.
Great. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for your time and insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.